Grandmother's Favorite, a Milton Falls Quilting Story by Frances O'Rourke Dow. Part 2. I wondered when Maggie and Ellis were going to tie the knot, Darla said as she plugged in the electric kettle. They're such a good match. She's not pregnant, is she? If she is, she's not showing, Natalie said, as though it were any of Darla's business one way or another. Skinny as a rail, that one. All of your girls are so slim, Darla said. She opened up a cabinet and pulled out several boxes of herbal and black teas. Margaret's just like me. We both struggle to keep the pounds off. Well, yes, Margaret and Maggie are different in many ways, Natalie offered. Apples and oranges, really. And yet they've always gotten along so well, Darla mused, placing the boxes on the kitchen table and then going to the fridge. When they were girls, they reminded me of how we used to be. Different, yes, but compatible. Maybe in their case, it's the name. Natalie nodded, but said nothing. There'd been tension from the beginning around the fact that the girls had both been named Margaret. Darla's Margaret had been named after her grandmother, Margie, and Maggie, born 2 months after her second cousin, had been named after Grandmother Emmeline's favorite aunt. As far as Natalie was concerned, they were two entirely different names. But she knew Darla didn't see it that way. "Sue me for copyright violation, then," Natalie remembered yelling tipsily at her cousin at the family Christmas party 1 year, after which Mark had driven her home and the matter was never brought up again. She looked around her now, marveling as always at how the kitchen appeared exactly as it had 50 years ago when this was still their grandmother's house. The place was nearly 100 years old and had been through 3 generations of Grangerfield women, grandmother, then Aunt Margie, and now Darla. And nothing ever changed, other than upgrades to the appliances and plumbing. Even the paint color had stayed the same, though new applications were layered on every decade or so. "How is Margaret's little boy doing?" she asked as she began sorting through the various teas that Darla had placed in the middle of the table. "The one with the tree nut allergy." "Tom? He's fine," Darla reported. She closed the refrigerator door and returned to the table with a carton of half and half. "But his little brother isn't out of diapers yet, and that's going to be a problem come August when he starts preschool." "Hmm," Natalie said, extricating a sachet of Earl Grey from its box. Much to her dismay, she only had one grandchild so far, darling little Faith. Suddenly, she hoped Maggie was pregnant. Babies adored Natalie, and she adored them right back. The problems didn't begin until they grew up and developed minds of their own. She accepted a blue teacup from Darla, one that was familiar to her from the hours she'd spent at this exact same table chatting with Grandmother about dresses for dances and whether or not she should get her ears pierced. Grandmother was terribly old-fashioned about that sort of thing, finding pierced ears tacky, but she agreed that clip-on earrings did tend to stretch out one's earlobes to a distressing degree. Thinking of her grandmother, Natalie recalled the reason for her visit today. "Listen, Dar," she began, hoping to stoke her cousin's nostalgia for the old days when they called each other Dar and Nat. "I need to ask a favor. Maggie, believe it or not, is going to have her wedding in a barn. On top of that, she wants to decorate this barn with quilts, including Grandmother's farmer's wife quilts. It turns out that when she stayed with Mother and Daddy all by herself, she was allowed to sleep under those quilts as a special treat. So they're very meaningful to Maggie, and she wants them for the wedding. Silly idea, of course, but nonetheless, I told her that she could have them. I'd just need to get them from Daddy. Daddy, it turns out, gave them to Mimi at the Quilt History Museum when he moved into the new apartment, and now she plans to put them in that exhibit of hers. Problem is, the exhibit dates overlap with the wedding date, and if I took the quilts back, there'd be a huge gap where they were hanging. That's inconvenient, Darla agreed. I understand why Maggie wants them. They really are lovely quilts, for all their simplicity. Grandmother said it only took a week or two to piece each one, but she never published a pattern that she hadn't tested herself. Yes, I know, Natalie said. I was there when she said it. The point is, if you would be so kind as to let the museum have your share of the farmer's wife quilts for a day, then I can give my quilts to Maggie for the wedding. This all seems awfully complicated, Nat. Darla came over to Natalie's side, tea kettle in hand, and poured hot water into her cup. Well, we could always cut out the middleman and you could lend your quilts to Maggie, Natalie offered reasonably. I'll make sure they're hung in a way that no one can touch them, and I'll take them down the minute the party is over. Darla didn't seem to be listening. You should have given her those quilts years ago, she said, sitting down across the table from Natalie. She's the only one in your family who loves quilts the way Grandmother Emmeline did. You certainly never have. Just because you couldn't make one yourself, you decided that quilts weren't anything to get excited about. I remember overhearing you at a party once. Maybe it was Grace's bridal shower. You said, "Oh, anyone can make a quilt. I don't know why people even bother." But you couldn't make one, could you? "I can make a quilt," Natalie said. "Perhaps not as well as you, I'll give you that. But I certainly know how to sew a few scraps together." "Do you?" Darla calmly poured water from the kettle into her teacup. "Do you really?" "I've sewn curtains," Natalie pointed out, "and Halloween costumes." "Pulling together a ghost costume doesn't count as sewing, Nat. That's on par with hemming skirts." "I've also hemmed skirts." "You know, I've thought a lot about it over the years," Darla continued, spooning sugar into her tea. "I mean, why you are the way you are. And then, a month or so ago, I came across an old photo you'd sent me from college, back when you first got glasses, but before you got contacts. That's when it struck me. Of course you had trouble quilting when you were a kid. You were farsighted, Nat. Your stitches were never going to be even. Your piecing was never going to be precise. You couldn't see well enough for precision. But by the time you finally got glasses, you'd already given up on making quilts. You'd given up on quilts entirely." Her eyes widened as though a brilliant idea had just occurred to her. "I'm going to give you my old Bernina. It's in great shape and the easiest machine in the world to use. Now don't argue with me. I want you to have it." Natalie shook her head, still not comprehending. "For what?" "Nat," Darla whispered, her voice gentle. "Come on, I'll help you. It'll be just like the old days. Remember how much time we used to spend together, talking about boys, listening to grandmother's stories about when she was young? I loved hearing how she learned to quilt underneath a willow tree in her best friend's backyard. Remember?" Natalie closed her eyes. Her grandmother had been proud of so many things: her writing career, her many prizes and awards, her induction to the Quilters Hall of Fame. But most of all, she'd been proud of that first quilt block. "It was the most amazing thing I'd ever made," she liked to say. "Just a simple 9-patch block, nothing to it at all, and nothing much to look at. But it changed my life, girls. It changed my life. Of course, Natalie remembered. How could she ever forget? In the end, there were 16 quilts in the barn, all safely out of reach from sticky hands and enthusiastic dancers. Darla lent Maggie 5 of Grandmother's quilts, plus 2 of her own everyday quilts. That was the look Maggie was after all. Homemade, useful, beautiful. A few of Maggie's best quilting friends added quilts of their own, and, oh, Natalie teared up every time she thought of it, there was a quilt that Maggie and Ellis had made together. Then there were Natalie's 2 quilts, pieced and quilted on Darla's old Bernina 6 weeks before the wedding. Natalie and Maggie had worked together to do the quilting, by hand at first, and then by machine when they realized they'd never finish in time otherwise. They were simple quilts, a 9-patch and an Irish chain, but they were, everyone agreed, lovely. "Beautiful wedding, Nat," Darla said at the end of the evening as the 2 women watched Ellis's groomsmen set up ladders so they could take down the quilts. "The flowers were gorgeous, but this..." She waved a hand to indicate the quilts that surrounded them. "This was the real Garden of Delights. You know what's funny?" Natalie collapsed into a folding chair and kicked off her shoes. "That these heels are a size too small, and yet I still insist upon wearing them?" "Well, yes, there's that," Darla said, sitting down beside her. "But also, when I was looking at the quilts before the ceremony, I had to remind myself that you were the one who made the Irish chain, not Grandmother." "Time for new glasses, cuz," Natalie quipped as she patted Darla's knee. Darla grinned. Clearly, she'd partaken of the champagne. "Seriously, Nat, it's hard to explain. But you know how you and Grandmother had similar handwriting? It's sort of the same with your quilts. You have the same, I don't know, quilt writing." "That's just dumb," Natalie said, feeling secretly pleased. "Grandmother was an artist, a genius, really. Still, I wish she could see these quilts, simple as they might be. I think she'd be pleased with me." "Grandmother was always pleased with you," Darla said. "You were her favorite." Natalie stared at her cousin. "What are you talking about? You were her favorite." "No, you were," Darla insisted. "The 2 of you were so much alike." "That's just dumb," Natalie repeated, bumping Darla's shoulder with her own. "You're dumb," Darla said, bumping back. After another round of bumping, they quieted, watching as each quilt was carefully taken down and folded before being placed in a zippered storage bag. "I thought I was going to hate this wedding," Natalie admitted after a few minutes, "but I absolutely adored it. I even loved Maggie's dress. I would have loved it a lot better if she'd had a professional dressmaker put the finishing touches on it, the way I told her to. But all the same, the dress was charming." Darla laughed. "The dress was perfect. The wedding was perfect. Maggie was perfect." "I was perfect," Natalie added, having had a glass of champagne or 2 herself. "You were perfect," Darla agreed. "Now, tell me, have you started working on a new quilt yet?" Natalie extracted her phone from her purse. "Let me show you what I've got so far," she said. "Give me your honest opinion." Darla leaned in to look at Natalie's work in progress, and the 2 cousins fell deep into a conversation that continued long into the night, until finally someone turned out the lights and the owl perched high in the rafters loudly complained that it was time for them to go home. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.